With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com. Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Guys, the Memphis Grizzlies did not beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Lost 126-114 despite some monster games. Let's be real, from Ja Morant, 33, 14 assists, 8 rebounds. I don't think we said that there in our first hour, just how big the game was from Ja Morant. Jaren Jackson Jr., too, 29 points, 9 rebounds. As our man tells you online on Twitter, John, give Jaren a break, coming off a 29-point game. No question about it. That said, some great news, though, that we've got for you. John alerted me to right here as we came back from break. The NBA Communications has put out the latest batch, and I believe the final batch, we'll check on that. I think the final batch, before this is all said and done, of fan voting for the NBA All-Star Game in Cleveland. We've talked about this now for the last 2 weeks. Ja Morant started behind Luka Doncic, obviously all behind Steph Curry, and the guard voting last week passed Luka Doncic. By what, John, what did we say, 220,000 votes?
Yep.
As of today, with the new batch of voting out, here's your results. Steph Curry, of course, still leading. My gosh, he's got 6 million votes. Down at 2.6 million is Ja Morant, still in second place. Not just holding on over Luka Doncic, who by the way, has been fantastic here lately. Almost like on the court, he's the one trying to make the push. Luka Doncic down at 1.9 million. So Ja has opened up the lead from roughly 220,000 to about 700,000 votes. Yes, if my math serves me correctly.
You got it.
So that is good news for the Memphis Grizzlies. Klay Thompson is fourth at 1.2. He's not played enough. The fact that he is above Devin Booker just makes no sense to me. That said, the fans have done us right, certainly here in Memphis, and done Ja Morant right. Today seems it's going around to be a double day if you vote for Ja Morant, hashtag all that stuff over for the NBA. But clearly the message has worked, and like we said last week, this is clearly not just a message emanating out of Memphis. This is a national push, and I think you see it in the get-ups and first takes and everything like we talked about earlier that are now leading with their, you know, Ja or Giannis. How many titles for the Memphis Grizzlies? They see, too, a tick up in numbers when folks are talking about Ja Morant. It continues to happen. Ja Morant opening up his lead in terms of being an all-star starter. He's opening up his lead on Luka Doncic in the fan voting. Now from 220,000 lead to about 700,000 lead in votes. Again, this is not it.
Right.
25% still determined by media, 25% determined as well by peers and fellow players. That said, fan voting 50% of the vote. Your top two guards, it's three big guys, three front court, two back court go. So Ja's got to beat out Luka.
And it looks like he's done that, right?
That's so amazing. So
all-star now, starter.
Now unbelievable.
Luka's doing some amazing things, so you know he's going to have...
He'll get a couple of more media votes,
he's gonna
right?
have
because of the push.
Yeah.
He just is. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, he's a great player. You're talking about two great players here.
I don't think he's done enough. But remember, the standings matter in this. When it comes to media vote, we talked to Brian Windhorst, who said who his vote would be with on this because, frankly, you look at standings and what everybody's done.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the trump card when it comes to his peers and media. They're going to look at the season Ja's had, where the Grizzlies are in the standings. You add that to a fan vote where he's got a significant lead. This dude's going to be a starter.
Yeah, now,
and
I mean,
frankly,
again,
deserves to be.
Now, look, I mean, in fairness, Doncic had 41-14 last night. I mean, so he's playing amazing basketball right now.
What I love is that with the amazing basketball, including a win over the Grizzlies, that clearly in this past week, Ja was still able to open up the lead from a fan standpoint. So I don't know how much better he's going to have to play to be able to catch. You get my drift on that one?
Yeah.
Even with him playing at a better rate, clearly, he's been fantastic, Luka has. It hasn't helped him. Ja's opened up the lead even more. So, I mean, you got to feel good about this. You're going to now have – we were trying to talk ourselves into after that first week that you stay close to Luka when he was behind Luka in the voting – get a peer vote and media vote, and maybe you're there.
Yeah.
This thing looks like it might end up being a landslide. I mean, especially with the media vote.
You know, we talk about this.
It goes
this,
like Windhorse suggested it might.
You guys talked about this yesterday, this crap about leaving Memphis. This is the thing that gets me excited about that stupid conversation. You can be second in this year easily, you know, in Memphis, Tennessee. Like, that's powerful to me. What do y'all think?
Well, I mean, I think when Keyshawn was talking about this today. He said, like, his whole point was, who are you going to get to play in Memphis with Ja? And I think actually a lot of players, lot of players would be willing to do it. Not every player. I mean, I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. But I think that there would be free agents who in the past you would not be able to have conversations with that you would be able to get meetings with now because of Ja. So
I do.
Does that mean you'd be able to get them? No, of course not. But I do think that.
I think so too.
With
Ja, the word's out.
Folks in the league
know he's something special.
Yes.
And so, especially for the star maybe that's looking for the title, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go grab one.
That hasn't gotten one or say this is a guy I can play with that could get me there. You could see that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that veteran player. You know, I don't whether that's a Beal or whoever else. Again, years from now, whenever it is, again, I would tell you right now, we still need to see what they got alone.
Right.
Just with the homegrown.
Yeah.
Because that's what got the Spurs where the Spurs were. That's what got Golden State to where they were. Everybody talks about KD. Golden State was already doing it before KD with the homegrown folks. And that's what you got to make sure. See, with the Grizzlies is, man, just how far can you go with what you've got already?
Oh.
We haven't seen a ton of it this year just because it's been so in and out. I think that's the great thing about the Grizzlies is there's still so much time just to see with what you've got with your own guys that you've got under control contract-wise.
Yeah. So I think that's true. I think that's a Ja effect. And
Ja, you ready to say Ja going to be a starter in this thing? Because there's one time in this world when you did not believe me on this, that this was even a possibility. You said it's too soon,
well,
Jason.
It seems possible.
Did I not speak it into existence? Just like you got Antonio Brown the Raiders.
You voted him in. You got him in.
I didn't vote him in. Done that once.
I think today's the last day to vote.
We need to retweet
through
today.
Through Saturday.
Today's a double day, though.
Oh, it's double XP
So you need
weekend.
To do your part and vote for Ja Morant. Get the All-Star. Finish this process off. Do it. Finish strong. Ja Morant opening up his lead on Luka Doncic for All-Star starter in the backcourt of the Western Conference. This is unbelievable.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
It's super exciting.
Yes, it is.
Ugh. Good.
Next story.
All right. Memphis taking on SMU tonight on ESPN2, 6 o'clock tip-off as Memphis tries to get back on track. Two-game losing streak, UCF, and then, of course, East Carolina on the road. They will have to do so without – this we know. They will have to do so without Rasheed Wallace on the bench.
Let brother go home.
Now, he says, Penny says – that he is still a remote consultant.
That brother gone.
Get ready to slumber. That brother gone.
Rasheed up in the transfer portal.
Rasheed on that Zoom.
Yeah, I think Rasheed would be willing to get on a Zoom if Jalen Duren really needed him, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a situation where it's like, all right, let's go, coach, you know, get on in.
Somebody's
here.
Somebody's going to inquire if he's getting paid his full salary to be a consultant at some point.
I would assume that Rasheed Wallace is not too concerned about the money because he's made so much of his NBA career. I am curious to know, like, did they convert that to a, you know, what?
Who
what's
gets the, that $300,000 or whatever?
Well, I don't think anybody gets it. I think they probably it just goes back to the program, you know, and they probably stop paying him on that rate if he gets paid at all. I don't know. I don't know how that's gonna work. But you know, I thought about this.
Remember when Luke Walton left?
Yes.
Oh, that was fun.
Lockout deal.
That's the only thing I can think of where you lose one like mid-season. You know what I'm saying? Now, that was a much different deal. NBA lockout was over. Luke Walton goes back to go back to playing. And who'd we end up with, John? Who replaced him?
Jimmy.
The great Jimmy Williams.
Jimmy Williams.
Who had coached KG, right? Or isn't that what his – what was his claim to fame? He coached KG somewhere, I believe. But what a year that was. That's the only thing this sort of reminds me of, you know, losing a coach mid-season like this where he just – he's gone. He just vanishes.
Yeah.
but maybe you can find him.
Rodney Hamilton's been moved up into his spot.
That's good for Rodney on that,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
he's been a Division I assistant.
Yeah.
He's done that quite a bit. I mean, he's had to do that.
Yeah.
But he gets it always in the interim role, John.
You know, wrote about this, thought about it. you know, we talked a little bit about it. Rasheed Wallace is not leaving Memphis because it's a, in his mind, a disaster
I saw a lot of that on Twitter.
You know, that there, we've gone over that,
tried
right?
to address that before we got off the show yesterday.
But I do think there is a larger conversation to be had about it. I do think there is a larger conversation to be had about, you know, because I think you now put that in a pile, right? You now put the Rasheed, because when Rasheed Wallace was hired, our whole thing was, you got Larry. You got Larry Brown. And that was incredibly important, we thought at the time, because, you know, you trust him, and he's one of the brightest basketball minds ever, you know? Mm-hmm. Only coach, as you know, to have what?
It's unbelievable.
What's he done?
I don't know if you've ever heard this, but he's the only coach to win an NCAA title and an NBA final.
Really?
I've done the research.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found this out. I don't know if you all knew that about it.
So Rasheed was a name, and I think there was some sort of...
Oh, he was going to help the bigs.
There was some connection people thought maybe with Jalen Duren. I think maybe somewhere along the way there might have been.
Philly connection.
Yeah. That's not why he was brought here. Rasheed was a cherry on top. I don't think anybody was under the impression that, oh, man, Penny has fulfilled a big need here with Rasheed Wallace.
No, well, Rasheed Wallace wasn't what got you Jalen Duren,
right.
You know, adding him, all
right.
that stuff. Like you said, like a cherry.
But I do think you now have to put this in a pile of things that have happened, you know, in the last 4 years. It was a swing and a miss. It was a swing and a miss. Rasheed Wallace got paid by the University of Memphis to do absolutely nothing. I mean, right? Like, it was a decision that, and on paper, man, Penny, Larry, Rasheed, but it didn't amount to anything.
But, well, how many more wins was a third assistant going to get you?
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, but there are also, like, there are guys who would have done more than Rasheed Wallace.
Certainly.
You know?
Or what? Who just would have been around.
Yeah.
A full season.
Right. You know, and I think you probably, nobody is trying to say that you force Rasheed to do something that he doesn't want to do. Okay, but I think you have to have the conversation knowing that COVID could be a problem again going into the season, and that, you know, if you don't want to have somebody that could cost you games. I mean, that's the whole problem right now. What if Memphis looks back and they are one win away, right? They're one marquee win away from an at-large berth. I'm just saying hypothetically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're gonna say COVID. COVID was the reason why you don't have that. So you put that to me in a pile with the mystery around the injuries, with the head athletic trainer leaving days before the season started, the whole ALO thing, you know, the COVID vaccination numbers, how it was 90%, and then it was at more like 30 or whatever. You know, it's been a weird-ass season. A strange, unnecessarily difficult season. And I am not putting the Rasheed Wallace leaving the team at the feet of Penny in terms of, oh, this means that the program is dysfunctional. No, but I do add it to a bunch of other things that are happening
sure.
that make me wonder, what the hell is happening?
You know, on the Rasheed thing, here's where I agree with you on this thing. It's avoidable. And where Penny, it seems like, at times has really struggled is on his ability to forecast, right? We talked about when you go out and get the two freshmen that they added late and you're adding it to a nucleus of guys who, you know, got on a run last year, won something to them. They won the NIT. I know fans, you know, feel a way about that, but those players feel like we won something together.
Yep.
Those roles change. We could tell you, hell, your grandmama could tell you there were going to be chemistry issues. But once you got there, wasn't it like Penny was surprised? And let's take it back to Rasheed. To your point, and this is the part about the Tennessee game and all that. You have to be on top of this. Like I told Brad when I was out here, Penny needs help with this because he's a celebrity coach. You're asking him
right.
to go down the line and get the rates of who's got it, who's not. No, somebody need to do that for him.
Right.
But you got to be on top of this because it goes back to you.
What Tony Madlock did for you.
Tony Madlock would have done it. You have to have somebody there to do that. But ultimately, having that guy there, that's your responsibility because it's your program. But go back to the point. Because of you knew clearly, we're speculating some, but I bet you a penny that Rasheed was unvaccinated.
Oh, for sure. So I mean, it was obvious. So we know it, right?
You have to be on top of this to be able to forecast. There might be an issue with this.
Yes.
Is it worth going down this road if he's going to stick to his guns and not get vaccinated? See what I'm saying?
Which
you
got
to be able to forecast this stuff.
Yeah, you have to think about the big picture.
Ahead of things.
Yes.
You can't, again, just throw whatever it is, talented everything, or names in terms of coaches and all that and everything, and not sort of forecast or have an idea of how it's going to go or play out.
Right.
And that seems to be the issue when Penny finally gets to it. It's like, oh, well, you know, I didn't pay enough attention. I asked him at one point how many we had vaccinated. I thought it was 9. You know what I'm saying with that? No, you got to be on top of it as a college basketball coach. Again, that's asking a lot of a man who in many ways is doing this as a service. Because he's, like we've said, not like most college basketball coaches. He's a celebrity coach, guys.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Who we think stood a chance to fix the problem because everything he attracts and draws in, the recruiting, all of it.
Yep.
But, you know, he needs the help, but ultimately it goes back on him. And I think with this Rasheed thing, you needed to be able to see that.
Yes.
That it's not worth going down this road. And to your point, that sort of being able to forecast thing is something that's eluded him in many important spots.
Right.
That goes back to a pile of things like you're saying.
Yes.
Now, one thing in your pile, I got to be honest with you, I read your column, is that IARP thing. And we cannot fairly just hang that on Penny.
Agreed.
Because you are in that boat
because administration decided
you were playing Jack.
That is shared with the
unless you want to be mad at Penny for the 11-5 initially.
Well, I don't care about that.
But nobody and everybody in Memphis wanted Penny as the coach because he would bring guys like James Wiseman. So you're not worried about the 11-5 at that point. Penny was failed there at that point as well by the administration that let him straight said we should fight, then pick back up. So IARP, you cannot just hang complete. Even though whatever comes down is probably going to be on him, that one's not just a Penny mistake here. Right, that's not a Penny forecast issue on this one. You should have, you know, chose a different road here. Administration said, no, we're not. You know, we got a program we got to protect. It's not just about James Wiseman. So that one's on Memphis.
No, I agree with you.
Okay,
on that.
Okay.
I agree with you.
But saw that in the pile.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you know.
But you're right. It's thing after thing after thing. Like, what do you mean you didn't know you're gonna have a chemistry issue on a team? And you add those two guys late.
Because he did know that, and he told Brendan Quinn that. You know, I mean, he said that he forecasted that publicly. He said, when you have Amani Bates coming in here, he's coming here to take jobs, and guys are not going to like that. He knew that was a possibility. I mean, we all did. Who couldn't? You know, who couldn't see that coming?
The rotation thing. Like, he knew, you know what I'm saying? He's telling them preseason, I'm going to have to hurt some of y'all's feelings.
Yeah.
But then you get to the season, you're trying to play everybody, keep everybody happy, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you were trying to convince yourself. But that, guys, is part of college basketball because there will always be fires.
Right.
And especially with
everywhere.
The way you're recruiting here and having lottery-type talent, that's a whole other set of fires. When you add it to a group that's already there and has done something,
yes.
that's you have to be better at being able to put out those fires. This is a struggle in that
Was Tony
area.
The fire extinguisher for that program when he was on staff?
Yeah, for sure. He was the guy.
Because Tony has seen
forever.
It all.
Yeah.
He knows how this works.
And I don't think people
he
realize.
He had a coaching job and got a chance to coach his son, and so that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize just how much they would, you know, miss him in terms of that aspect. Missing Tony.
Makes sense.
You know, that guy that's seen everything for you.
Yeah.
You know, and again, as we go through all of this and we, you know, talk about all the things that seem to be going wrong for, by the way, TJ Madlock averaging 12-6 a game.
Dude, he's
solid.
The key for him, make a tournament with TJ. And then hopefully it can move him up to the next job for Tony, because it's going
to
be tough.
If it were to work out with Penny, would he be a good Memphis coach?
Tony?
No, they wouldn't go that direction. They certainly would not go that direction.
Okay.
Too close. Yeah, too close.
That is awfully. It's close.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of Tony and Penny.
Yeah.
What you're, you know.
I got you. I just ask because I know I've had fans ask me. They're like, well, what would you do if it didn't work out? Now, I'm not saying I want it to not work out. I want this thing to work out.
Well, everybody does. But I think at some point, too, you have to be able to sort of have a sobering and an honest perspective of it. And it's just like these are drama happens everywhere in college basketball. Like Creighton's dealing with it. Pick a school, dude. I don't care. Like, just throw a name. North Carolina's dealing with it. Duke's dealing with it. Duke lost to Florida State. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're dealing with it. Every college basketball program has, at one point or another, something that happens. It just feels like at Memphis, there's more of it, and it's more public, and it tends to get in the way, right? It tends to get in the way of a team achieving what it's capable of achieving. Like, you know, I mean, it's just true. And it's happening this season. All that being said, as much has happened, they are still 6-point favorites against SMU. And honestly, like, all this stuff, it won't matter. Like, Rasheed Wallace, whether he's on the bench or it doesn't. He's on the bench for all those bad losses they took. I mean, that's not what this is about. You know what I mean? It's not about Rasheed Wallace. It's really just about the you know, is it symptomatic of the entire thing? You know what I mean? Because you had the excitement and the hope, and it equates in the end to nothing. Again, all that being said, Memphis is a 6-point favorite tonight against SMU. You win that game, you feel like you get DeAndre back, you get Landers back, assuming that happens.
Well, then you got Tulsa, you know, away, East Carolina again, which will be a revenge game. You could start telling yourself, well, there's some easier opponents next couple of games that you could put two or three together. Again, then Cincinnati away, which is right now a quad one opportunity for Memphis after those three straight. So, anyway, it starts with one. You got to take care of business against SMU tonight. And you know why? Because you haven't been a good road team. You only got one road win this year. So those home opportunities, you better be taking care of business. Because, again, at this point, the key for Memphis, getting in that top four of the AAC.
Yep.
Which right now they're in the middle of the pack. Right? You got to get on a win streak to get to that top four so you can, you know, tell yourself, okay, we only have to win three games in 3 days in the conference tournament to get to the NCAA tournament. That should be the key for Memphis right now.
Exactly.
Getting into the top four.
That's exactly right. And you
as
go
crazy
a
as
way.
That sounds, this was a well, no, team I mean, that's a freaking been preseason favorite.
Yeah, I mean, before the season started.
Was fighting for, you know,
it's hard to believe this, but after Imani Bates committed, Memphis had the same odds as Illinois, Purdue, and Villanova to win the national championship.
It's hard to believe it's the same season.
That's why, you know, when people try to sit up here and make excuses, like, I'm not here. I'm not listening to it.
And here's the other thing, John. Like, just look at the timing of things and what Houston's going through. That if you're just any kind of, you know, competent or close to what you were supposed to be,
right,
it's lined up for you to be the AAC champ.
Yes.
Houston's down. They've lost their backcourt. You know, now the point guard's down. Like, this was the – things had aligned.
Right.
For you just to – just be normal.
Right.
Be a normal college basketball team. This is going to be your year finally in the American Athletic Conference, in a conference where it's never been your year. Like, Houston's lost everything in the backcourt.
Well, like,
and it's still a deal where it's like you hope they can be top four in the AAC.
Yep.
It's hard to believe it's the same season,
the other
and yet
piece
it is.
Of this, and I saw, like, this, like, if Penny is not the answer, he's not the answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's not it, he's not it. That doesn't change.
Well, that's what y'all should have said about James Wiseman. If he's not going to play at Memphis, okay, he's not going to play because it's just a one-year deal.
Right. Well, I mean, that wasn't our decision.
Along some of those same lines. Oh, well, some of us were more pro-fight than others.
I mean, I won't lie. I definitely like the spectacle of it.
But you had your boy telling you, I know you. But it should have been about more than just the spectacle. It should have been long-term. Just like you're saying we should be right now about Penny.
Well, yes. Well, that
if he ain't the answer, he ain't the answer. See, you can move on, and this program gets to be fine.
I don't run the University of Memphis. You know, I come on here and talk about whatever the hell, Lizzo for 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
No, we don't do that.
It's a different obligation. But I think people have to be willing to have honest. Like if we get to a point, Penny's not it. Penny's not it. Like, life will go on for Penny Hardaway. Life will go on for the University of Memphis basketball program. But you know, we have to find that out, right? We have to make that judgment at some point. It's not today.
No, it's not today.
But
that's the thing.
It's
just not today.
Coming. It's not like it's like, oh, we're gonna revisit this in 3 years. You know, it's like, okay, you have a family dog, don't you?
Maybe you big on telling us about the crossroads and how many more miles to the crossroads, and we are at the crossroads.
If you have a family dog, bro.
You are John Crossroads Martin.
If you have a family dog,
you really are.
So is the timeline this and next year if it goes, like, okay?
I think so. I think that's probably
okay,
right.
Because that's what everybody's talking about. It's like the elephant in the room.
Nothing's going to happen after this year. This is provided they miss the tournament, right? They don't make a run.
Yeah.
But if they miss the tournament this year, don't make a run, then he would have next year to – I'm assuming there would probably be some conversations had with the administration, whatever. And then you get the fifth year, you reload in the transfer portal,
yeah,
and you go balls to the wall. And then if it doesn't happen then, bro, it just ain't going
to
happen.
Well, the cool thing is he'll have a new staff next year, too. So, you get a chance to get another crack at that.
That's another piece, too, man. There's been a lot of turnover.
The staff turnover has been, like the rotation and the starter.
Totally.
Basically, the starter turnover.
But,
you'll get another look next year.
This is the trade, man. The trade is you get paid a lot of money, and you get a lot of things that come with it. In exchange for no promises or guarantees of longevity if the production doesn't match. That's the way it goes. Now, it's a little bit more complicated because Penny, it's a lot more complicated because Penny was Penny, and he did everything he did for the program, and he gave back to the program. That all doesn't change. You know what I'm saying? To me, you have to be able to separate the two entities. You have to be able to separate Penny, the man, the player, the Memphian, from Penny Hardaway, the coach. You have to be able to do that, honestly. I mean, it's imperative you do that, because if you don't, then you leave yourself with a mess. Then you really do. Then what the hell do you do?
It's already going to be a mess unless he just steps down on his own. There's no way you fire Penny Hardaway and it's not a mess.
Well,
mess. He's a program legend.
He'll resign no matter how it goes.
That's why I'm saying I cannot see where Memphis puts out a statement.
However you want to frame it.
Whatever it looks like.
If that day
This is going to be Penny Hardaway having other interests.
Golf.
If it ever goes that way.
Sure, yes.
Because you won't do that to him. And
but that's
you still want his money as a booster. Like you're not just going to say, hey, well, if we lose you, whatever.
You kind of feel like that.
That
is what it is. I mean,
you only have one alma mater, man.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to ever lose Penny Hardaway, the brand. You know what I'm saying? But, you don't want that against you to any degree.
Right now,
you need him to see the best thing for the program. If you got to that point, is it to move on without you? That's what it would require. And again, that's a lot of pride to swallow for a man that's done as much, accomplished as much, and made as much money as Penny Hardaway.
I am hoping
it's going to be messy one
like
way or the
hell
other. That's what I'm saying.
Like, this is,
and I told you that when we talked about that. When the whole thing came up, even during Tubby time.
Yes.
Said, Penny might be the answer.
Right.
But all I know right now is that he can put talent together.
Penny
I don't know if
answer.
He's a coach.
Well, hello there.
It hasn't worked out, but Penny, that doesn't mean that Penny still wasn't the answer.
And here's the point. I said, if you ever got to fire him, you ever got to fire him, That could be nasty and messy to a point that maybe you should consider some other folks.
But that doesn't mean that if the day comes, you don't do it.
And everybody said, well, it's too magical not to try.
Is it about?
And yet here we are.
Is it about Penny or is it about the program? Right? It's about the program.
That's what it always should be about.
It's got to be.
But folks got to remember that.
I mean,
because they use it conveniently around up in here.
I mean, right now, and look, I hope like hell. I hope to God that Penny turns this thing around and makes a run, because there is a pall over the city right now. The fact that the Memphis Tiger basketball program is floundering the way it is. But if they don't they're on track to miss it now. If they don't make it now and they miss it again next year, having to reload like we think they're going to have to reload. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just let it. You can't just let it sit there, can you?
Nobody's going to, but they're also going to be checking, okay, how many tickets are we still selling all that? It was obvious
they
spoke.
That's a
when
problem
you start
right
losing
now.
When you start losing that, John, as opposed to anything else, that's what's going to make that call for you whether you're there or not. It's everything. You can feel it. Like, it's dying down in terms of the belief, the bubble, the buzz around Penny, the program. And if that thing dies down to any sort of kind of level that it was at end of Josh Tubby for those 2 years, then it speaks for itself.
But the beauty of that, too, is it's pretty easy to get back.
But there's a lot more people going to be willing to give, and they are, because of who he is, what he's doing, the pay cut essentially he took to do it,
the fact
that it's Penny Hardaway.
That was a contract to go. I mean, he didn't take less this go around. But I feel what you're saying.
Oh, he's supposed to keep doing that?
No.
He earned what he'd gotten based on how he turned the athletic department around.
Look,
not just the basketball program, the athletic department from a financial. Oh, he had earned that, bro.
I agree.
Supposed to stay his service, do it for free all of his life?
No, he had
earned that extension and that raise.
But you have to make the tournament.
100%. Here's my thing. Penny got to get comfortable. This is the same. You got to know what you don't know. It's the same for Josh. Like, at the end, it wasn't having that guy. And whatever the answer is for Penny, and it's going to be a number of answers, but it's being comfortable with what you don't know. It's like, okay, this thing with turnovers has been an issue for me with 3 years. I got to find a way that I'm not doing right now that's completely outside my box to attack this. And you have to be comfortable with that. So if that's putting it on a guy whose own mission is ball handling and cutting it down, you got to be comfortable with handing that over.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Fixing that issue with something that you don't have right now.
Yep.
Like that, and that's what I've always said about the best coaches always being willing to adjust. So many get caught up in, I've got the answers. It's all on. No, college basketball, it's a constant adjustment. You don't. And with all these fires you've got, you need all the help you can get. So you have to be comfortable with what you don't know. That's why you see college coaches go out and get assistants who are strong in areas where the head coach is weak.
Well, and we gave Penny credit for that because we thought that's what he was doing when he hired Larry Brown.
But you can't hire him and not listen to him.
Right. He can't just be a figurehead.
Back to it. Got to be comfortable with what you don't know because
right.
Every college coach in America who's worth a salt is a listener. Most of them don't have it all figured out.
Yep.
Right? The willing to adjust is the point.
Yep.
And a lot of times the answer is something that is outside your body, something you ain't even thought of.
Yep.
And so, again, when you see issues like the turnovers, the free, it's got to be something else. But you've got to find a way to attack it because those small details are the things that are keeping you out.
Yes. Agreed. Now, again, like we talked about, if the buzz is dying down.
We all want them to succeed,
and
though.
It's fading away. That is just as easy to get back as it is to lose. That's the beauty of it. Memphis wins tonight.
Especially for him.
Memphis goes on a winning streak. Absolutely. Memphis gets healthier. They get Landers and DeAndre back.
Right.
They start making some noise in the AAC. They start like, it's easier. It's not easy. It's going to be hard for this team. But my point is that it's never gone forever. Fugazi. Get it back just as you lost it, man. You know what I mean? It's never final. With Tubby, it was final. We were done. You know, it was a situation where you lost.
Come on to my recruiting room at my house.
Same way. You lost it. It was gone forever. That is obviously never going to be the case with Penny because there is something in this community that exists for him that did not for Tubby and Josh. And that is that you are one of us.
Yeah, it's family.
You know? And we want you to succeed. We want that for you. Nobody cared. Everybody wanted Josh fired. Everybody wanted Tubby fired. They didn't care, right? Like, they aren't from here, whatever. Move on.
Right.
Move on to the next guy.
Right.
That's a sentiment that is true for Penny that it was not for them. Everybody in this city and community is rooting for him to do it. But if you don't do it, and if you can't do it, you have to be willing to have those conversations, too. That's the other side of the coin. And I think that is where there is a commonality. You're either producing in the job or you're not. And eventually, you know, you have to be held accountable for that. Not today, not tomorrow, but at some point, especially if you can't, if you aren't saying after 5-6 years that you don't have an NCAA tournament to your name, that's college basketball. That's big boy business. That's the way it goes. So Memphis back in action tonight against SMU. They are 6-point favorites. Big time opportunity for them.
Next story:
is Stetson Bennett going to win back to back national titles?
Well, is Georgia excited about this is the question. Because, you know,
had the opportunity to move on from Stetson Bennett if they wanted to. Wow. Why would Kirby not be?
How do you do that?
This
though?
Is Kirby's man. What are you talking about? Is Georgia excited?
How do you do that? How do you say,
and did he
hey,
not,
man, you want us a title, but we're going to go get, you know.
And did he
Spencer
not earn it based on the way he played after he had that fumble in that game, based on
it was
what
impressive.
He did afterwards?
It was impressive.
I think you have to give him sort of the nod and say.
You don't think he's a good
you know
quarterback.
What, you've earned that.
You don't think he's a good
dude,
quarterback.
Dude, I had been saying it for years, good JT. I wasn't the only one, but Kirby Smart made a fool out of all of us, didn't he?
Well,
there was something
more
deep
like
down.
Stetson Bennett did.
I'll be honest with you. After that play,
yeah.
When he said, I ain't going to be the reason,
yeah.
He came back a different quarterback
yes.
After that play. I couldn't do nothing but give him respect for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I mean, he wasn't a scaredy cat the rest of the way, which would have happened to a ton of quarterbacks. So, you know, we can go on and on about his arm or what he is or what he isn't. But what he did was lead that team to a victory over Alabama. And at a time that he needed to drive them down the field, he absolutely did it. He came through for a squad. You can't take anything away from Stetson Bennett on that one. JT Daniels, obviously, because of all of Stetson Bennett's success, is going to be transferring up out of there. He has now hit the transfer portal as well. And so, you know, Georgia's got its man, and the question now is going to be, now Alabama's favored to win it.
Yep.
And will be just about every offseason, it feels like. But and there will be some key losses, including our man, and we talked about yesterday, N'Kobe Dean
yep.
from Horn Lake High School, a Georgia linebacker who was mocked at number 9 in Mel Kiper's mock draft 1.0. They're losing a lot of pieces from that defense, but they'll have Stetson Bennett back, and you got to figure in the East.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be highly favored. You do that, you get to an SEC championship game, they'll have an opportunity to get right back into the college football playoff and be there again. I mean, I think there's a
Well, I mean, that's the way it goes in this sport, bro.
You know, you would put Bryce Young in Alabama right now as the favorite. Yep. And I think I haven't seen the list of second, third, and fourth, but I imagine Georgia's got to be right there.
Yeah, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State.
Right? Now that you've got Stetson who's done it, you're going to have a confident quarterback who isn't questioning himself, probably going to be on a hell of a roll next year in the
SEC. Yeah, I mean, I got breaking news for you, buddy. Like, it's going to be the same damn teams every year. I mean, that's just – I think Oklahoma State, because they're bringing back the quarterback, I think they're in that mix as well in terms of the best odds.
How do you think LSU will do under Brian Kelly?
I mean, I think they'll get players. And
you think it'll be quick to come?
They always get players.
LSU. I think he could get it going quickly.
He'll get better players than he got no Dame.
Ed Orgeron won a national title at LSU.
That's it.
End of story. I mean, like, Ed Orgeron.
I don't think they're ready next year to your point.
Not that quick. But
get ready.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly's coming with LSU. I don't see any way that fails.
Ed Orgeron was a disaster at Ole Miss, you know? I remember reading a book about him. Bruce Feldman wrote it. It's called Meat Market. It was fascinating, an interesting look. Like, they were in Memphis quite a bit, so Memphis made lots of appearances because they were recruiting Memphis. But yeah, it was like he was a caricature, man. I know Barrett Jones came on here and he got mad at me when I said that, you know, basically when I insinuated that Ed Orgeron's not a good coach, but like, Ed Orgeron's not a good coach.
Like, if he were good, he'd still be there.
He's not in the friggin', you know, you look at the college football playoff. Ed Orgeron was the dude that stuck out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, right, and Ed Orgeron. You know, just like one of those things. Like, all right, buddy, you crashed the party. You know,
good enough to get what is it, $9 million or something to leave? How much?
Good coach, great businessman,
monster.
Yeah,
monster package he got to leave.
Yeah,
good enough to get that.
Oh man, I wish I had that.
I think that's what Barrett's saying. He's looking at your money, and he's looking at Ed's money.
Yeah, he's a finance guy.
He said,
yeah,
exactly, because that's the way Barrett looks at stuff. He said, "Who's the smart guy?
Yep,
who did what he did?" He said. You can't be calling Ed Orgeron a dummy.
I'll tell you this.
Ed is a punching bag.
If I had his,
somebody's got to defend him.
If I had his buyout package, your ass would be by yourself breaking down SMU Memphis tonight.
I already know.
You know what I'm saying? Your ass would be on. You can call me. I'll come
that
in.
Brother gone. John Gone. Brother
gone. I'll be on the Scalabrini schedule every 2 weeks.
Hold on. Let me ask John a series of questions here. You tell me.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to ask you Tigers.
Oh. Why are you doing this, man?
This is good.
You put me in.
Let's hotbox him a little bit.
No? Yes? John Camden.
I never got to see him. Mm. Wow.
Josh Minot?
Oh. Minot!
To the league, I hope.
To the league.
Okay, that's different. That feels better.
Yeah. Like, he's going to be a first round.
I
ain't breaking on news because you already basically insinuated about Camden.
Scouts
and
love
you got
him.
And you got Noah Bachelor coming in. So it's not like anybody's going to miss
Camden. You have a quota, either. You know what I'm saying?
What about Io?
Who?
Io?
Big Sam. Isn't that his middle?
I hit that button 15 times.
Whoa!
This man said Io. Sam Anu, man.
I meant Anu.
Io Desunmu.
Sam Anu.
You got me on. I'm thinking about Io Desunmu.
Yeah, I was thinking of Illinois for a second there.
Yeah, he got me on that.
That's fine.
Well, Camden and Anu are a package deal, man. They came together. They lived together.
The Lawsons?
Too early to call. Too early to call.
Are they? Because Chandler is supposed to be an ankle that goes back weeks now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you at this point say medical red shirt would be better? I'm just trying to look at it from there. I haven't talked to Keelan or anything like that. I just wonder if they're looking at it that way.
I mean,
they've continued to act like he might be possible and coming back. So,
well, I mean, I think they could use him, bro. That's the thing. Like, I think they could use Chandler this year. Like, bring him in. Like, he actually.
You're going to put another body in there and say, Penny, here's another option for you. Go solve the rotation issue.
Well,
that's what you do to a crazy man with the rotation is you give him another piece.
No more toys.
If Chandler is healthy, don't you believe it will happen anyway?
Well, does that come at the expense of Malco? Or is he trying to play them all, John? See, that is the issue here. I'm with you. I think if Chandler understands Penny and what Penny, and especially defensively, what he could bring. But again, is that the best thing for this team right now? That's why I bring up the idea.
You're missing the elephant in the room,
shirt.
Jason, and that is whether it be as a coach or a seventh-year senior – Alex Lomax.
Oh, he ain't going nowhere.
Alex Lomax here for life.
So the only that elephant in the room that's for is you. What are you talking about?
Like, everybody wants to get rid of Alex Lomax. They don't want him on the court for the Tigers is what I'm suggesting.
Alex Lomax ain't going anywhere until he's done.
Forever.
So next year he'll be...
Does he want to be an assistant on the squad? Does he want to be in the support staff?
Whatever.
Alex Lomax, the only person taking him out of here is you and Gary.
Maybe he could be a third assistant next year.
Alo actually will be working in the registrar's office for the University of Memphis. In addition to... I mean, he will be everywhere. He will be homecoming king.
I don't see Penny letting him leave anytime soon just because,
Okay.
They go back.
I just hope you... I hope y'all go to his senior day, man. I hope there's some support in 2027 for that.
Who?
Alo.
Now, we're going to hire him here on 92.9 as air talent. We want him to be our neighbor, air talent. We want him doing everything.
I mean, Memphis has looked pretty bad here lately without Alex, right?
Wow.
Like they're pretty capable of being pretty awful.
You know
without,
what? This is why I'm betting on Memphis with six points tonight. You just nailed it.
Still conveniently place all of their issues on this young man who hadn't played none here the last few games.
Where's my FanDuel account?
They've been good
Memphis,
and ugly without him.
I'm on Memphis.
And as a matter of fact, they've slipped defensively.
I'm at add points to the line. -10, -15.
That's common sense.
Alex Lomax, the key.
They've been doing good and bad without Alex Lomax.
What's that? I can do bad all on my own? That's what Memphis is doing right now. That is a good... You make a good
point. What are we talking about here?
Because Alex, when Memphis...
They've gone out and looked like garbage without Alex Lomax. So how can it all be on Alex Lomax as if he's the problem, and the sooner they get him out of here, the better off it'll be?
Memphis never lost East Carolina with Alex Lomax.
I mean, all I'm saying is not go in and put Alex Lomax in for 25 to 30 minutes. That's common sense. What I'm saying is, can Alex Lomax, who has won games for you defensively, did it last year, can he help in that aspect? Could he have been on the floor instead of Tyler Harris there at the end of the East Carolina game defending that guy because he's a much stronger defender? Yes. So can he help you in some areas? Probably. What he's not going to do the moment he steps on the floor is ruin everything because it's bad without him, quite frankly. At this point, you're looking to see if there's any way he can help you. I mean, they need all the answers they can get,
yeah.
Especially defensively.
I'm all over Memphis tonight.
It was a Tyler Perry movie. I can do bad all by myself.
All by myself.
And that's what Memphis is doing. Thank you for saying that. I think
I'm not even joking.
I'm not even joking.
But yet we still want to place it squarely on this dude's shoulder.
I'm not even joking. I'm glad that you said those words.
Now, if you want to use Alex Lomax and Penny's trust in him to say, well, you've missed out on this player and this player and this player and your rotation's like this because you want to constantly put you all day long fairly. But to constantly put Memphis's issues on his shoulders is unfair to that kid.
Well, that's a myth that's been
debunked.
They're
horrible without him from a basketball standpoint in terms of taking care of the ball and everything else. And they've slipped defensively where they used to be good.
Right. Used to be great. They used to be the best.
Are they bad with or without him?
No. I mean, they beat Alabama when Alex Lomax was in the lineup. Alabama got a big win last night over LSU, which was good, which is good for the resume. That might be an up-and-down deal you have to monitor all year long, but... No, yeah. I mean, they've gotten their best wins.
Just saying, it's not an absolute. Yes, Alex Lomax, we know, hasn't met expectations. It's been wild that he hasn't, frankly, with all this time. It's hard to fathom, but the idea that it's all on him is unfair to the young man.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we've learned that. I absolutely do. And here is what is true. Here is an undeniable.
Hell, they need him defensively.
Here's an undeniable truth.
Press break could have helped you on against ECU when you were turning the ball over there late.
Memphis's best wins of the season, Alo's in the lineup.
Yeah.
Memphis's worst loss of the season, Alo's not in the lineup.
And Alo in measured amounts that team needs.
These are facts. Virginia but Tech, Alabama.
Y'all want to act like that's
Alo
not the
in.
Truth.
East Carolina, Alo out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you decide. You decide.
Oh, I know it's hurt him defensively, especially.
Yeah.
Now, they're turning it over with Alo in, Alo out.
Well, Penny has talked about, at some point him coming back. So we'll see
when
that is.
And you can't tell me it wouldn't have been a better option than poor Tyler down there unfairly or having to guard that 6'6".
Tadarius Jacobs,
East Carolina. You got a walk-on out there,
right,
to your point. I'm glad you bring that up.
Nothing wrong with Tadarius Jacobs.
No, but you tell me you wouldn't prefer,
what I would have done
as many men as you are, Alex Lomax.
I'm gonna be honest. What I would have done if I was Memphis, I would have
credit to Tadarius. He seemed like he was ready.
I think John's about to say it.
Shout out to Tadarius.
You shouldn't
Jacobs.
Have had to ask, call on him.
I'm going in a totally different direction than you are expecting here. I would have put 31's jersey on my man Demetrius Dyson and put him in the game against.
I don't
East
think
Carolina.
He has any more eligibility.
Well, how would they have known?
He was a pretty good college player, right? In a couple of different.
Yeah, he was
spots.
At UMass, and then yeah. So, but like I, That's Tadarius
for the East Carolina game. He's a walk-on. Go on in there, Tedarius. That's what I would have done. He's a hooper, man. And he looks young enough. You know what I'm saying? I think we could have no, – not enough people were watching the East Carolina game.
In there.
Yeah, it was on ESPN+. Plus. I don't think anybody would have known. That's what I would have done.
So do you think he'll play tonight, Alex Lomax?
Mm-mm.
It's questionable, right?
No, I didn't think Penny put him in the game-time decision category that he put DeAndre Anoa'i in. So it sounded to me like it was at least one or two more, if not more than that.
Well, we'll have the watch party ready.
Well, maybe he's not playing healthy. That might be part of Alo's, you know. Penny says it's the ankle.
He did say that Alo is questionable, but he was not in the game-time decision.
Not in the game-time decision category.
But again, like these are deciphering wordles with Penny. Like,
yeah, questionable doesn't mean what it does for the Grizzlies, which is probably going to play. It does not mean that for the Tigers.
At Memphis,
it's a different language.
Questionable could mean 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
It could mean consultant, fool.
Consultant,
on the Zoom.
Zoom, yeah.
Rasheed Wallace was questionable.
Yeah. Brother gone.
Man, been questionable since Alabama State game or whatever it was right after Tennessee. Been questionable. Rasheed, man, gone.
When was the last time? I mean, yeah, that was – he didn't
– That Tennessee was the last one.
Rasheed Wallace.
And that's where that happened.
You watch him on the – like, I mean, dude just didn't do anything, bro. Like, he just didn't do anything.
Well, I mean, he's masked up. You couldn't tell what he was saying or not, John.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not trying to kill. It's not about that. It's just, damn. You know what I'm saying? Wish Nolan Smith would have, you know, taken this damn thing. I know why he didn't. I know look at him now. You know, he's going to be an assistant, one of the head assistants there at Duke. But
yeah, but still under Shire, though. Right?
Right.
Your entire career.
That's true. Shire's not going anywhere.
Right.
So come on to Memphis. Right?
Well, I wasn't saying all that.
Yeah.
He was. We all said he'd have been a fantastic hire.
He was that, and I give Penny credit for identifying him, you know, because I wouldn't have, out of a hat, I wouldn't have even thought about Nolan Smith. But at that time, you know, 2 years ago, he was actually, it was just too tough to get him.
But you are right about Matlock being that guy that would have said, Penny, we got to be on this vaccination stuff.
Yeah.
We got to be on top of this. And if he ain't going to be vaccinated, how are we going to have him around? Like, Matlock would have been that guy for him.
And I'm sure Cody is probably that guy now. But, you know, Cody's got a lot on his hands on top of all that, you know, and everything else. So
I'm just saying, Matlock's seen it all.
I don't think
he has that over Cody in terms of what teams have been, just everything else.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to have somebody on these staffs that's that organizational.
Well, this is Cody's second or third year of college basketball.
Third.
And seen it all.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm with you. It had to be part of his responsibility. But yeah. I just think you miss Matlock in that area.
Yeah.
I see.
That veteran's had three decades of coaching.
Yeah. Exactly.
Seen it all. He knows the college basketball season. You know we got to be looking out for what you don't. And you miss a guy like that, especially when
you are
Penny Hardaway and you didn't come up with this the traditional way that everybody else did.
Well, and that relationship was great, right? I mean, they're friends.
Well, yes, exactly. So, anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to cover on the show. Jeff Calkins will join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis, get his thoughts on Ja, all that and more. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.